Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Hope you had a great Christmas holiday, whatever holiday it is that you're celebrating. Welcome on in. And, of course, we have New Year's coming up this week. It's a busy week, but it is mostly, not all, but it's mostly about the Cardinals today. Paula Bovin will be joining us shortly, AZ Central sports columnist. We'll get the local view. She was at yesterday's game with the Cardinals taking apart the Packers. So I'll talk with Paula on that front. And then Peter King will be with us. And we'll get a national view from the Monday morning quarterback, the best in the business with SI on a national view. Peter King will jump on board. And we'll talk with Peter about what happened yesterday. I had a really good holiday. Eric, do you have a good holiday? Get through it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right. I'm just making sure. We got the A-team here today. Jared's in. Jared and Jared, they're both doing their thing.
Thanks for asking, by the way. Appreciate that.
Oh, sure.
Glad yours went well.
I
know you can't see me yet because Jared was adjusting cameras.
That's okay.
You threw him a curveball.
I know.
Hi,
I did.
There I am.
I know I did. It's nice to see you. No, I did. I decompressed. Somehow an NBA game showed up on my television set on Christmas Day. And the only one that I wanted to see was Steph Curry, and that's the one that I did end up watching. And with my family. My family all wanted to see Steph Curry. And,
as did we. We watched it, too.
Of course, Mark Jackson said he's bad for the NBA. Of course he said that.
Yeah.
I might get into that a little bit later today.
Luckily, we had the volume turned down. The game was on, but the volume was turned down. So
the Cardinal game yesterday, were you surprised?
Yes.
Yeah.
Talk about as dominating as a win as we've seen from the Cardinals in what? 2 to 3 years, I'd say.
Yeah, I think I'm there at the stadium yesterday, and the Cardinals, early on, you know, they're trying to feel out each other, typical boxing match. And there's the just horrific interception that Carson throws. And then Justin Bethel comes in, and that was the end of the game. That just turned everything around. The defense, you could see early that Rodgers was having some problems. And then they started losing linemen. And, you know, for everything that Bruce has said this year about Calais and getting after it and he needs to see more out of him, Calais turned it on.
No doubt. Yeah, no Rashad Johnson, obviously, no Tyrann Mathieu. And the Cardinals secondary, I mean, they dominated defensively. I mean, there was no weaknesses. The linebackers played well. The edge rushers played well. Freeney had another sweet spin move sack. They force turnovers. And
Packers receivers aren't any good.
No. Just like Peter King told you last week, the Packers have a hard time getting the ball downfield. Jordy Nelson.
Just and not
it's
just, good.
No, it's been a problem.
And you know, you talk about Jordy Nelson, that's just one guy. I wondered to myself, what's Aaron Rodgers thinking when he sees Carson Palmer run out onto the field with all these guys? I mean, all these guys, not just at wide receiver, but at tight end. At running back, and you know what's he thinking? Like, man, I sure wish I had this type of talent on my team because I don't have this type of talent on my team. And I'll give the Cardinals defense credit, but the other side of it is the Packers are a poorly constructed team when it comes to their wide receiving spot. And I've never seen Aaron Rodgers just look like, and he was pissed, and he should have been.
He got hit pretty hard yesterday.
He got
bumped around a little bit.
He got beat up.
Good win for the Cardinals. Man, they are just on fire.
So they clinch a first round bye. And, you know, the conversation yesterday, the NFL moved the Carolina-Tampa Bay game.
Smart move by the NFL. Very smart.
Very smart. Because it would be an unfair advantage if you're the Cardinals and you can see what Carolina is doing and then you go about your game plan.
Yep.
So you're not going to know, which is going to make Sunday that much more fun. If you're not aware, the Cardinals have this first round bye, but with Atlanta beating Carolina yesterday, and, you know, Carolina is all caught up in their games, and Cam Newton is a fine player. I guess he's one of those guys, if he's on your team, if you love him. From a distance, I look at him and say, he was caught at Auburn. He's gone into the NFL. He's been marketed right. He's gone about his business the way that just kind of annoys you where I'm going to make fun of the other team and disrespect the other team. But, you know, that's just, I'm just supposed to accept that. And then he gets beat up yesterday by Atlanta, a team that crushed them earlier. And so now they lose. If the Cardinals win and Carolina loses, Cardinals would have home field advantage throughout the postseason. They wouldn't have to leave. And here's the thing on this. If you're the Cardinals, even if you have to go to Carolina to play in the championship game, in the NFC title game, if it's the Cardinals have to go to Carolina, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really don't. The Cardinals have shown the ability to go on the road and win big. Yeah, some of the teams they've played are not very good. But I don't think traveling, if they have to, is that big of a deal. Conversely, if Carolina had to come here, I think it's a big deal. You know, yesterday, yeah, there were a lot of Green Bay fans there, and I didn't make a big deal out of that because I don't begrudge people selling their tickets, and it's the holiday season, and it was, I'd say, 70-30, if you're all wound up about that stuff. But it was fine. It was fine. But I think a team coming into Arizona, there is something about the home field that the Cardinals have created. They've done a very nice job of that. I've been to games in Seattle, and they're very loud, and they're very rowdy and very raucous, and I'd say probably the rowdiest, raucous stadium in the NFL. That's because they've won big. The Cardinals have had their ebbs and flows. Yesterday, I found myself thinking for the first time, is this a team that's better than the Super Bowl team? I actually found myself looking at it saying, okay, so at running back, there was edge, there, and at wide receiver there was, and on the offensive line there was, on defense. And so I'm going position by position and doing what I think any normal fan would do, saying, is this team, because this team looks like a Super Bowl contending team. There's no question about it. They cleaned up the stuff. I wasn't happy last week. And I don't think you should have been happy last week. Yeah, they won big at Philadelphia, but there were mental errors all over the place on the defensive side of the football. And it just takes 1 week of that nonsense and you're beat. So they cleaned it up, I thought, yesterday. There's still a couple of plays, but you're going to have some of that. I like seeing Carson Palmer run around in a little, how would I describe it, a little bikini 3 hours before the game. I'm sitting in the press box, and I see somebody running on the field and running off the field. I'm thinking, well, there's a fan that got out there early. And then I look a little closer, and it's, well, that's Carson. And it was his birthday, and then I think it was Mark Dalton that tweeted out a short time later, the Cardinals PR side, that somebody lost a bet and it was his birthday, whatever. I kind of like the looseness of this team. It's very embraceable. Here's Bruce Arians in the locker room. We like to bring you this stuff. The Cardinals, azcardinals.com does a great job. They have great access, of course, so they can pull off these type of things. So the Cardinals win 38-8, and this was Bruce Arians in the locker room afterwards.
Just a great job. That was a hell of a team win. All right. Let's just make sure that we're very complimentary.
Yes.
So when they come back in a couple weeks, you know, there's nothing on the bulletin board.
There you go.
All right. Other than the bruises on their ass.
All right.
I'll see you Wednesday.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey,
turn
that lunch down back.
That's how we win today.
Mr. Rock.
One mind, one spirit, and one heartbeat. And that's going to be for the rest of the season, fellas, as a team. Team on three. 1, 2, 3. Team.
Look at the DJ.
All right. That's pretty good. The bruises on their ass. And they may see them again in a couple of weeks. There's not a team that you look at in the NFC in the playoff race. Let's just go right through it. If you're looking over at Washington, Washington's had a nice run, but Kirk Cousins doesn't put the fear of God in me if you have to face them in a playoff game. Green Bay, you already saw what happened there. Minnesota, you know, they've got the leading rusher in the NFL, but they have a young quarterback, and I just don't see it. You know, last night they took apart the Giants. The Giants aren't any good. Seattle's one of those teams that even though they lost yesterday, you have to look at Seattle and respect who they are. I'm not one of those that's going to sit here with pom-poms and say they're going to beat the Seahawks into submission this coming Sunday. I don't believe that. It may well happen, but you can't just sit here and say they're going to roll through everybody and go all the way to San Francisco. I don't think it's too early for some of you to start making those plans, though. Like, Eric, should we – I was thinking this yesterday. Should we start at least considering the thought of taking the show up there if they go?
Sure.
You think so?
Sure.
All right.
Because they are – I mean, this isn't like – what was it? When they went to the Super Bowl 2008 where they – didn't backdoor their way in, but it was just one of those they got hot at the right time.
Which they are now.
And all the pieces fell into place. I mean, they already have the bye.
Right.
Something goes crazy this week, they could get home field all the way through. And like you said, I agree. Going to Carolina, it's always tougher, but this team is so much better prepared than last year, obviously, because they have Carson Palmer.
But that brings me to the point of, do you play Carson Palmer this week?
Oh, man. I'm glad I don't get paid to make that decision.
So if it's me and Carson's going to try to talk his way into it, you have to look at it, I think, from a couple different perspectives. And I'll be very interested to talk to Paula and Peter about this. Because there comes a point where you're so razor sharp, which the Cardinals are right now, and Carson is right now. It's a timing league. And if you take him out and you sit him down this coming Sunday against Seattle, and then the following week they have a bye week, that's going to be a long time of him not playing a football game and throwing a football and spinning a football. And, you know, Bruce Arians had him out on the field yesterday spinning it downfield, and they're winning by 30. He still had him out there, and fans are going crazy in my Twitter feed about that. So there's that side of it that, okay, is too much of a rest a bad thing? Then there is the, how bad really is this finger? Because if you know anything about the NFL, they're not going to say, because they don't want the opponents to know, first of all. They're going to dance around, hint around, and say whatever they have to say in their media availability. But at the end of the day, you never really know how severe that injury is. And if you think that sitting him down for that period of time and playing Drew Stanton and win or lose against Seattle, but let's say you start Carson Palmer, and if you're looking up at the scoreboard, can Jameis Winston help you out, Tampa Bay at Carolina, and it's halftime, and the game's tied at 10? Or is it Tampa Bay's beating Carolina 10-0 on the road? This Sunday will be very interesting in that regard. I think Bruce has got to play him. I mean, if it's me, I think I'm playing him. I don't know if I'm playing all my starters, though. I may look at certain guys and say, you know, over here and over here and over here, and we'll get through it through the rest of the week. I don't think that you can just put everybody out there. I think you'll limit some guys, pull some guys back, because it is a long grind of a season, and nobody's at 100% this time of year. I will talk with Peter about that and Paula about that. On the other side, a little bit more on the Cardinals, and bowl week is here. And why I went to the Suns 76ers and the absolute train wreck that is the Suns. They fire two of their assistant coaches this morning, and they lose Bledsoe. There's just a lot to get to on that front, too. Sports360AZ.com, that's our website. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports carries our show, of course, on Sports360AZ.com. Later today on Sports360AZ.com, we will release our all-academic football team. We go off GPAs, not yards and catches, and it's nominated by the coaches. So it's real in-depth stuff. That's later today. Look forward to that. Stay with us.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Brad Sussmath with you. Not to be lost in all the excitement of the Cardinals. And actually, the more I think about it, the more that I believe the Phoenix Suns are happy for the Cardinals' success, because it has taken almost all the media attention off of them. So you haven't read much. You haven't heard much. I mean, AZ Central's Paul Coro is there getting it done. I went down on Saturday night against Philadelphia, and people texting me why, because I put it up on Facebook and Instagram and on Twitter. It's because there's a story there. You know, Jerry Colangelo is running the 76ers. Dan Marley was down at the arena, from my understanding, during the day. And Jeff Hornacek's job is in jeopardy. So I walk into the arena, and I immediately have some people that have been around the Suns for a long time that aren't media-related saying, boy, I hope Jeff makes it. I hope Jeff survives. And I'm thinking, what's Jeff done that's wrong here? What has Jeff done that's wrong? Follow me on this. What has Jeff done that's wrong? I mean, he's trying to coach a team of that's not very well put together, that is a team in transition. And so Jeff is under the gun. And it's pretty clear when some longtime people are expressing their concern for Jeff's well-being and if he's going to make it as coach. So this morning, or actually last night, the Suns fired two assistant coaches. They fired Jerry Sheestein and Mike Lombardi. So they actually had meetings yesterday from this came from Adrian Wojnarowski, the best in the business with Yahoo. The Suns' Robert Sarver and Ryan McDonough met with players individually yesterday to find out what was wrong. I just don't get how we could have gotten to this point. And I understand talking to players, but I don't believe that that should be the overriding deal. How about looking at the roster that this guy has to work with? And then Eric Bledsoe goes down and is grabbing his knee on Saturday night, and you're thinking, no, it can't be. But yeah, so Bledsoe goes down, and he leaves the court. He has to be helped off. He has torn meniscus in his knee. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. So he's gone now. And Jeff Hornacek is sitting here with two of his assistant coaches gone. They've moved Earl Watson up on the staff. And is Earl Watson going to be the next coach of the Suns at some point? Because here's the thing. The Suns have Cleveland tonight. They have the San Antonio Spurs and then the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Have fun with that.
Have fun with that. Knock yourself out. They're not going to fire Jeff and say, hey, new guy, you get the Cavaliers, San Antonio, and Thunder. They're never going to do that. They're smarter than that.
Seems accurate. It's a good assumption by you.
So, but after those three, they have Sacramento, who they already beat this year, and the Lakers. And that's at the end of this week. So me being me and looking at this just purely objectively, and again, it's a very good thing that the Cardinals are just killing it, because the Suns, I think, have basically escaped. The Markieff Morris suspension that happened over the weekend, it was a long weekend, so that got away from everybody. Yeah, they suspended my guy, Keefe. If I hear another announcer call him Keefe, that's a very complimentary. A nickname is supposedly something that's complimentary in most cases. I mean, you could call somebody a swear word or an A this, or, but when somebody's referred to as Keefe, it's meant as, hey, Keefe, man, how's it going? It's not meant in a way of, Keefe, you are the biggest load and we don't want you here anymore and please leave. So let's just get rid of the nickname stuff, because this has been just the most disappointing, maddening team. And it's not that they're that good, because I don't think their roster is all that talented. I'm looking at the 76ers, and if I had told anybody walking into the arena, one of these teams has one win and the other team has 10, guess which one is the one with one win? I think some of you would have said the team that was playing the home game. They have tickets available tonight, $2,000 to sit courtside. Would you pay $2,000 to sit courtside to watch LeBron tonight?
Nope.
For an NBA game? You know, I might if I'm that big of a fan. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, Pollock Bovin on the other side, AZ Central Sports columnist.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
I think this big question on this Monday after the Cardinals' destruction of the Packers, 38-8, there's a couple. And do you want to play? Is there a team you'd rather not play in the NFC? And the way the Cardinals are playing right now, I don't see that. I don't see any matchup that I look at and say, Now, if you have to play Seattle a third time, that's tough. That's really tough. Beating the same team three times in a season, that doesn't happen very often. So I look at it from that perspective and say, okay, if I'm the coaches and I'm the organization and I'm sitting in my meetings and we're looking at all the potential possibilities. Okay. Seattle. Yeah. I don't think I want to try that deal. Green Bay again here in Arizona. I think we saw that the Aaron Rodgers was hit 9 times in the second half alone. The Cardinals return a couple fumbles for scores. I don't really see where the Packers can make a whole lot of adjustment. Minnesota, okay, so you have Adrian Peterson. They look like a team that's rising, but you get them here, if it indeed is the Vikings. Washington, come on. I don't see anything with Washington that scares me of them coming here. The Cardinal defense against Kirk Cousins, I don't see where that is an area that I'd be concerned with. And then that leads me back to Carolina. And here's the question that needs to be answered this week. And only Bruce Arians, and I trust him. This is in Bruce we trust. It was kind of like in Wiz we trust, but I think there's even more to that with this veteran staff, especially in the offensive side of the football. What did Bruce Arians and Tom Moore see? Okay. What does the entire coaching staff see around Carson Palmer and this finger injury? Just how severe is it? Because yesterday I didn't see anything that looked like I should be overly concerned. I didn't see that. But if there's any ounce of concern, and you sit him out this coming week against Seattle, and if you're Bruce Arians, you sit him out and he misses this week's game, and then he's out for the bye week, and then he comes back at 100%. At least that's the good theory, the good thought. The other side of that is he comes back, and is there a little bit of rust, and is there a little bit of timing? This is a very routine league. The guys that are the MVPs, ones that are the best of the best, they get into their routines. And when they have their routines, they don't want to be disrupted from them. So this will be a Carson Palmer to Bruce Arians and Bruce Arians to Carson Palmer conversation with the entire staff involved. And will it be one where it comes back that, you know what, he needs to sit out this week? Or is this just not even negotiable with Carson Palmer? And he's going to play against Seattle no matter what, no matter what's on the line. And the fact now that the Carolina game against Tampa Bay is at the exact same time, how will the coaching staff handle this coming week? I don't mean to diminish what happened yesterday against Green Bay, but we are into what's next. It was the worst loss in a game started by Aaron Rodgers in his history. He never lost a game by 30 points. So it was Aaron Rodgers' worst loss yesterday. The defense returning a couple of fumbles for scores, doing it against Aaron Rodgers. He's not had good success against the Cardinals. So you put it all together and you look at it, the 9 quarterback hits in the second half alone. If they were to play Green Bay again, even if the Cardinals had to travel to Carolina, I don't think it's that big of a deal for them to go on the road in a playoff. And it would be an NFC title game if the game's at Carolina. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think if Carolina had to come to Arizona, that's a big deal. I don't see Carolina as being a scary place to go play. I just don't see that. Paula Bovin joins us now, Arizona Republic, AZ Central sports columnist. She was at the Cardinals game on Sunday as they took apart the Green Bay Packers. You're Bruce Arians. Do you sit Carson Palmer this coming Sunday against Seattle? What do you make out of Carson Palmer?
Well, I mean, I think you have to do whatever is best, whatever situation puts you in a best position for matchups in the playoffs. And if it means, you know, getting more games at home, whatever, you have to make the decision based on what's going to be advantageous for you in the postseason. So, Arians doesn't like to sit guys very much. And I think Palmer is a different situation, but I think he's going to surprise people by how much he's going to play his starters.
So the finger injury then doesn't concern you, because I talked earlier, it's a timing league. So if you pull him this week against Seattle and he sits out any amount of plays, and I'm in agreement with you, I don't think he's going to, but I think it's worth of having the discussion. We don't know how severe that finger injury is. If you pull him or any starters, essentially they're going to be off the field for 20 days. And it's a timing league.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been listening to a lot of players, because I was always one of those, like a lot of fans, why are you playing these guys? And talking to more and more players, I hear two things. I hear one, you know, people forget that the team size isn't that big. There aren't that many players on the roster, so there's not a lot of opportunity to sit guys. But the other thing is exactly what you're talking about. It's a momentum thing. It's a timing thing. I think that's undervalued when you look at sports, and particularly in the NFL, how valuable that is to a team. And I'm sure that's what he's thinking about, too.
I don't see a team, Paula, in the NFC that strikes the fear of God in me. I know they're playing really well, but even if they have to go on the road to Carolina, this feels very different to me than the Super Bowl team with Kurt Warner.
Oh, no question. And it's been so interesting, Brad, hearing even national perspectives. That's what the national perspective is. Sometimes you wonder, are we seeing things others aren't? Are they seeing things we aren't? But that has been the national perspective, that they are the team that may be playing best right now in the NFL and certainly in the NFC. You know what? Carolina on the road does scare me, because you're still talking about Cam Newton and you're still talking about the road game. And I know how much these Cardinals players value the whole bird's nest, the noise and everything else. So I think you just have to, you have to do everything in your power, you know, and obviously there's going to need to get some help from Carolina, but whatever you can do to get that home field advantage, I think is a priority.
Okay. So Sunday, this coming Sunday, both the Carolina-Tampa Bay game and the Cardinals-Seattle game now are starting at the exact same time.
Oh, they are. Okay, I hadn't heard that.
So,
interesting.
So they've changed that. And if you're Bruce Arians and Tampa Bay is losing 21-0 at halftime, do you call off the dogs? If they're winning 21-0, do you keep the dogs in? Do you even scoreboard watch at all, given that this Sunday both games will be going at the same time? If the Panthers lose, Cardinals win, they have the number one seed. I think you got to scoreboard watch a little bit.
Absolutely. And it's such a, you know, it's such a great question, because it's this really awkward situation that the Cardinals may face. 21-0 at halftime isn't enough for me to pull Carson Palmer or some of the starters. Maybe, you know, 30-0 after the third quarter, I'll start thinking about it. But I've seen too many times in this league when teams come back. And so you want a scoreboard watch, and that'll certainly help you decide what you're going to do during the course of the game. But I wouldn't get too comfortable with a 20-0 lead at halftime.
Okay, so Calais Campbell was the person that Bruce Arians seemed to pick on quite a bit. And your colleague Kent Summers said to me on the show that it's because he could handle it.
Right.
And Calais came out on Sunday and absolutely destroyed and blew up the Green Bay Packers. Paul, have you talked to him much this year? Because he is one of the holdovers from that Super Bowl team. And what do you make out of the season he's having?
It's amazing, and for a couple of reasons. One, I love that a player of his skill level and experience and everything can take what this coach, who you've only had a few years, is saying to you and respond to it. I think that says a lot about Calais. But I also think I really respect Arians for being able to push the right buttons. You know, coaches like to talk about how they treat everybody the same. The reality is most of them find ways to motivate guys differently. Some are too sensitive. Some need that push. I think he saw that Calais could handle it. And I just, you know, a lot of us kind of raised our eyebrows, frankly, when Arians was kind of dogging Calais for what seemed like a pretty decent season. And Arians was all over his case. But, I mean, you look at the product and the end result and the fact that Calais is playing great and there's still sort of this great vibe and energy on that team and respect for Arians. I think this is sort of a season for up-and-coming coaches to watch how Arians is here to handle this.
Well, and not just Calais, but I think there's been some other players, too, that he's pushed along the way as well. So, all right, so you're saying play the guys this Sunday. You're on that side of the street on this one before I let
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think you've got to look out for your future. You got to keep that sort of momentum and rhythm. You know, obviously we've seen untimely injuries happen with this team, but you can't let that dictate the course of your decision-making when it comes to the playoffs.
Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
Paula Bovin with us, AZ Central Sports columnist, for a couple of minutes there on the Cardinals and Carolina and much, much more getting ready for Seattle. Peter King is next. We'll visit with Peter, the Monday morning quarterback. He'll join us. And I'm going to talk to him about a national perspective of where the Cardinals are and teams within the NFC. And probably a little bit about Peyton Manning, too. That's next. I'm Brad Sismat. Peter King joins us now for a couple of minutes. SI.com senior NFL writer, the MMQB editor-in-chief, must read on a day-in and day-out basis. Great website. He gives us a national perspective of things going on. Before we get to the Cardinals' destruction of Green Bay and resting starters or not, Peyton Manning, the story that came out from Al Jazeera's over the weekend. You spoke with Peyton. Peter, what do you make out of all this for the NFL fan?
Well, I think it's a I think it's a very complex story. I focused on one aspect of it in my column today. The informant who basically, it has been alleged, worked only in 2013. That's what he told Chris Mortensen of ESPN. That's what the director of the anti-aging clinic asserted in a statement on Sunday and reasserted to me last night in an email exchange. But Al Jazeera reporter Deborah Davies has a recording and a transcript of an employee at the organization. Now, I've seen the transcript, and I should say that Al Jazeera says they have a recording and this transcript, alleging that a woman at the agency said that the start date of his employment was right in the meat of the curve when Peyton Manning was being treated by the agency, which was October 17th, 2011. Mm. So, Brad, round and round it goes. I mean, the bottom line is I talked to a very, very emotional Peyton Manning on Sunday morning. You know, for now, I'm keeping an open mind. I'm probably like most people who know Manning some, that I tend to have a pretty high threshold of someone's going to have to prove this to me. But again, I'm a reporter, I'm a journalist, and I'm open to the facts. So let's see where the facts lead us.
His wife being involved in this story, I was talking to some people, including my own wife, and she said, well, if the wife had some things delivered to the house for her well-being and her health, that should be considered as well. Tell me about that side of the story, because I know Peyton was upset that his wife has been brought into this.
Yeah, he's upset because I think he believes that his wife obviously should not be involved in this. That if they want to go after him, I mean, he's not happy with that, but he just believes that this is a case that it should be Al Jazeera against him, not Al Jazeera against him and his wife. But obviously, you know, Al Jazeera's clear inference in this is based on conversations with this informant that the, you know, the HGH was sent to Manning's wife so that the paper trail wouldn't lead to Peyton Manning.
Right.
So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Charlie Sly seems to be a bit of a questionable character. But again, and people are going to have to figure out how much you want to trust a guy who is on tape, according to Al Jazeera, for at least 20 hours with their undercover reporter. And now he recants everything. So you just have to determine how much of this you're going to trust.
Peter King with us, SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. Turning our attention towards the Cardinals, were you surprised at how easily they mowed through Green Bay on Sunday?
Nothing about the Cardinals surprised me at all. Everything about the Packers continues to surprise me. I mean, look, as I say, it's not particularly shocking to me that the Cardinals have an explosive day and a pretty good defensive day without Tyrann Mathieu. But to outgain the Packers by 203 yards, to outscore them by 30 points, those are things that, and again, look, I know Bruce Arians is a confident, extremely well prepared kind of, very confident guy. But I doubt if you said to him, you're going to outgain the Packers by 200 yards, you're going to score 30 more points than them, and you're going to sack Aaron Rodgers 9 times. Would Bruce Arians said, oh, yeah, I got that's very logical. It's totally illogical, not from the standpoint of Arizona playing well, but from the standpoint of Green Bay being in such disarray. I think the two things about the Cardinals I would say right now is that what really strikes me is I remember a conversation I had early in the year with DeMarcus Ware of the Broncos and marveling to him how well they were playing, even though their offense wasn't killing it yet. And it turns out they really never would all year. But I said, it's remarkable how well you're playing so early and all this. And he goes, now is not the time to play great. Late in the year is when you want to play great. So he said, I don't really put a lot of stock in who's playing great in September, October. So anyway, the bottom line is this is a team that, in the last last month has held a couple of teams to single digits. and is the highest scoring team in football. So I think, you know, all is on the up with the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, the conversation out here, Peter, is does Bruce Arians consider resting Carson Palmer, resting some of his starters? They have Seattle here on Sunday. The exact same time, Carolina is playing Tampa Bay, a change in the schedule. So now they're playing at the exact same time. If the Panthers were to lose and the Cardinals win, they get the number one overall seed. Is having the number one overall seed that important to Bruce Arians? Or if you sit Carson Palmer out, he's not on the field for a couple of weeks. It could be 20 days before he plays a game. And this is a rhythm league. You know that. So what's your view on resting starters, in particular Carson Palmer?
What this really reminds me of, do you remember back in 2011 when the Green Bay Packers were going to be, they were 13-0, and they went into Kansas City and lost and got to 13-1, but still they were going to win home field. And so what happened is they played their guys some against the Chicago Bears, you know, I think either all or most of the game against the Bears. And then that was, I believe, on Christmas Day that year in 2011. And then, if you remember, the next week, Matt Flynn quarterbacked the Green Bay Packers and threw six touchdown passes, a franchise record. And so what ended up happening was that – and then they got the bye. The Packers got the bye. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening was then they didn't play – until either the 14th or 15th of January. So what happened, Aaron Rodgers basically got 3 weeks off.
Right.
You know, as you're talking about now, 20 days. And the Giants came in as not at all a powerful team. I think they might have been 9-7 that year. And the Giants came in and absolutely manhandled. They manhandled the Green Bay Packers and knocked them out of the playoffs. And so after that, there was a lot of hand wringing. What should Mike McCarthy have done? And Aaron Rodgers clearly was way off. And I'll just say this, Brad, I do not think you give a quarterback, particularly 3 weeks off before the playoffs. It's absolutely unlike any other period of his year. And in many cases, in any other period of his career, I would want to look back at Carson Palmer's career, with the exception of injury and coming back from an injury, if he has ever had 20 or 21 voluntary days between games. And I would just venture to say, I doubt he has. And he is such a creature of habit, having spent time with him this year, that I, and again, I don't know how much you play him against Seattle at the end. But to me, I think you have to play him some and not just one series to get him in and out of there. That just isn't – I just don't think it's smart. And again, I've talked about this with Tony Dungy at Football Night at NBC because he's absolutely on board with resting as many guys as you can rest in a game that doesn't mean anything to the standings. And aside from that, I think the effect of it is at best mixed, you know, and I think it's probably you hurt yourself more than help yourself. And again, look, if your guys are hurt, if Carson Palmer is playing with some injury that Arians is not talking about, then that's fine. Then keep him out because it's more important to get him healthy, to have a very healthy guy who's had 20 days off than it is to risk a guy's health and then only having 13 or 14 days off.
Yeah, I think he answered the question yesterday. Arians did late. Carson Palmer's out there with a 30-point lead, and he's still chucking it down the field. And to me, he plays this week against Seattle, and I can see the argument on the other side. Before I let you go, you look at the rest of the NFC, Peter. Is there a team that matches up well with the Arizona Cardinals right now, even if Arizona has to go to Carolina in the NFC title game? Is there a team that matches up well with them?
See, that's a really good question. I mean, in my opinion, somebody who matches up well against the Cardinals is going to have to be able to score 30 points in a game. And so now I'm thinking about all the teams in the playoffs right now. And I'll surprise you with one. Okay. I think Washington right now could come in and play a good head-to-head game with Arizona. Now, that's just because, in my opinion, late in this year, if you look at what Kirk Cousins has done late in this year, I would just say I don't know anybody right now who doubts that Kirk Cousins is capable of playing a quality game. And again, how the big stage will affect him, I don't know.
Right.
But Kirk Cousins has played 7 games in a row where he's completed 2/3 of his passes or more. And in those 7 games collectively, he's only thrown 2 interceptions. So I like Washington right now. I'm not saying they beat the Cardinals. I think they'd give him a competitive game.
Appreciate your time and your insight as always. Happy New Year, Peter. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks very much, Brad. Appreciate you.
Peter King with us, the Monday Morning Quarterback, SI.com, senior NFL writer, MMQB editor-in-chief. Really interesting stuff there on the Cardinals. So he went against my view on the Redskins, but it's compelling when you look at the numbers, and obviously he's looked at the numbers a little bit deeper, but what do you do on Sunday? And we'll talk about it through the week. To me, it seems pretty simple. Bruce steps up today and he says something like, well, what are you talking about, resting starters? We wouldn't do that. If he says, well, we'll consider our options, we'll see how things go this week. And if you're Seattle this week against the Cardinals, do you sit Russell Wilson in your starters because you're in the playoffs and maybe you have a better matchup? You know, these teams are all looking at matchups. And if they rest guys, they lose, they lose. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismath.